morning, Grace Point. It's a pleasure to be here and a privilege, of course. I'm very thankful. Thankful to see you all as brothers and sisters, and thankful to be able to do what God called me to do, to preach the word. And with the Lord's help and your forbearance, it will be everything that God wants it to be. Today I'll be reading from three different passages of Scripture, from Psalms, from Jonah, and from the Gospel of John. In each of these scriptures, we see God working in the dark, God working in a situation that you and I would not be able to perceive what's going on. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, for night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Now, Jonah. Jonah was the prophet in Israel 2,700 years ago, commissioned to preach to a ruthless people. And Jonah ran away from the Lord, didn't do what he was called to do. And in the middle of his darkness, this is what he said. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. I'm going to read verse 9 as well. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And John, chapter 19, verses 41 and following. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. This is the word of the Lord. God works in the dark. I don't know about you, but I've had outdoor projects that I have to shut down for the day because the sun goes down. Sometimes when I'd be pruning the grapes, I'd have such a short amount of time to do it, I'd bring a work light or a flashlight out there to try and finish up in the dark, but it ends up being useless once it gets dark. There's certain things that are hard to do. 2010, there was a terrible mining accident in the mountains of Chile, and 33 miners were trapped 2,000 feet below the surface for 69 days. They didn't have enough food and water for that amount of people for that amount of time, but each and every one of them survived. And hour after hour, day after day, they were waiting in the dark with their meager supplies. While above the surface, where they couldn't see, work was going on their behalf. In the same way, when we're in the dark, God is working in ways that we can't see. We find ourselves in dark places or in places of unknowing for a variety of reasons. And today I'll talk about three of them. The first is from Psalm 139, and that is God working in the womb. Now, the womb in Scripture is a metaphor for something which is to come forth, something that will be produced, a work of God's kingdom that will come forward. And so, as David was in his mother's womb, he was a future king, a king in the womb of a woman, and nobody knew that there was a king inside his mother. His mother didn't know. His siblings didn't know. But inside the darkness of that womb, God was knitting the man together. All his days were ordained before one of them came to be. Now you and I, as followers of Christ, and us together as a congregation of Christ Church, and Christ Church all around the world, we have a spiritual womb as well. There are things that come forward out of the church. Harvard, Yale, University of Dubuque, those are all things that came from the womb of the church. The idea of a hospital for the general public, that came through from the work of the church, the compassion of the church. There were precursors to modern hospitals long before the church, but the idea that it would be for ordinary people out of compassion, that came from the womb of the church. The most relevant and important birth that came from the womb of the church to me is revivals, like the First Great Awakening in America. I listened to a really good set of lectures by Ryan Reeves, a professor at Gordon-Conwell, about the history of revivals in America. And revivals were different. They were risky. They were only seen favorably by some, not by all. They did have a fantastic and powerful impact for the many souls that were converted and for the communities that were changed, but they were different because normally the gospel was only preached like it is right now, in the pulpit of a church, through the institution of the church, through a pastor that had been ordained and installed for that congregation. But the revivals dared to go preach like Jesus did outside, out in the public, where anybody from any denomination or no denomination at all could come and listen. And the revivals also worked with a style of preaching that was different than the pulpit style. And they added music that was different than the church music. They took some risks. So people looked at it and said, well, because they tried these techniques, the revivals were successful. But the fact of the matter is, the most important strategic thing that was ever done for these revivals was a season of deep, deep prayer, urgent prayer in the location where they would be held. People from that community were pulled together to urgently call on God to take scales off of eyes and soften hard hearts. I believe that every awakening and every great movement that has turned hard hearts soft and turned people to Christ has been first birthed in prayer. Now, the message of the womb for us is that God works in the dark, and so you should continue to lift up your prayers even though you can't see an answer. You should continue to hope in the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of God for the advancement of the kingdom of God in your life, in your church, in your community, even though when you pray, you finish your prayers and you go about the rest of the things you have to do for the day, not knowing what's going to happen or what's happening. Keep praying. That's the message of the womb. It can be hard to trust God to work in the dark when you can't see what he's doing, but there's a circumstance that's harder yet, and that is to trust God when you're in a place of darkness because of your own sin. It's your own darn fault, as the Margaritaville song says. Jonah was such a man. Jonah was in the belly of the fish, and he wasn't there on vacation. He had been trying to head toward a vacation. I don't want to assume that everybody's heard the story. As I mentioned, Jonah was a prophet 2,700 years ago. A prophet was a person who was called and commissioned by God to hear God speak and then to appropriately tell it to the people that needed to hear it. Now, you may not realize this, but if you are in Christ, born of the Holy Spirit, then you are similar to Jonah. You too are a prophet, in a sense, or a prophetess, because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And he also said, "Go out into the world and make disciples." We have a commission to preach the word of God, and we have a commission to hear the word of God. Most importantly, we have a commission to obey. So what happened in Jonah's life is very relevant to us, but Jonah didn't obey. And there are things we can do that are really wrong and really bad that our flesh wants us to do that are an act of commission, fits of rage, lust, stealing, lying, cheating, being arrogant. There are things we can do where we push across the boundary. But there are also things we can do because we refuse to go where God calls us to go and do what God calls us to do. That's the way it was with Jonah. He sinned. He did wrong. So he was running away from God. Because he was running, he ended up going over by boat across the water. And by storm, he was put into the sea. And by fish, he was put into the belly. And there in the belly, that's when he prayed to God. Jonah compared it to a tomb. It was a dark place for him. And it's hard being in a bad situation knowing that it's your fault. But Jonah did something that we can all look to. He gave thanks to God and he prayed. He said, God, I know you heard me. Jonah recognized that the dark place he was in was actually God's provision. It was like a grave, but it wasn't a grave. It could have been a grave. It was just like a grave. And when he gave thanks, that's when he was restored to his purpose. And when he was restored out of that time of darkness. About 17 years ago when I was in seminary, I was able to do an internship at a prison in North Dakota. And the chaplain there, we're still friends. I owe him a phone call. We're playing phone tag right now at this very moment. And he would take me around the prison and introduce me to people. And some of the folks he didn't introduce me to were the kind of folks you might expect at a prison. Like, don't get on his bad side because everything's on his bad side. Just don't engage right there. Look straight ahead and smile. But some of the folks he introduced me to were some of the best-hearted, faithful followers of Christ that I've ever seen. And I remember one guy, I don't remember his name, and he had a job, I think it was at the laundry or something like that. But I could tell in my short interaction with him that this was a man who had cried out from the belly of the fish. He had given God thanks and God had taken him from his darkness. His circumstances were still the same, but he was not in darkness. He was restored to his purpose. He was serving God with joy. And I look to him as an example, a godly man. God can restore us to our purpose, even when we're in the place of darkness that is by our own darn fault. Now, there is a form of darkness that's worse than the darkness of not knowing when you're waiting for answered prayers, and worse for the darkness of knowing it's your own fault. It's the darkness of a dead dream. The darkness of the tomb. One of my hero preachers, Bill Wilson, preached a sermon called What You Do When the Dream Dies. And this sermon was so powerful. He talked about when he was 12 years old. His mother sat him down on the curb and said, wait for me. I'll be right back. And he waited. And he waited. And then the sun went down and he waited. And the sun came up. And he waited. Eventually, somebody noticed that this kid was sitting there. And he went over to him and brought him into his house, took him to church camp. And there at camp, Bill Wilson gave his heart to Christ. And soon he was reaching out to children by the thousands and getting kicked out of church job after church job because he was too successful. 1,000 kids in your church will tear the place apart, you know. And so eventually he realized he needed to start a ministry on his own. He didn't have money. He didn't know what he was doing, but he knew he was called to Brooklyn, New York. So he went there, and somehow by God's provision, a dilapidated warehouse was given to him. And they sat around a burn barrel day and night, chasing the rats away and trying to tell the drug addicts to go shoot up somewhere else. And it became the headquarters of his ministry that eventually was reaching 24,000 kids a week. So he preached, what do you do when the dream dies? He said, you live the dream for somebody else. His mom never came back. He never got reunited with her. But thousands upon thousands of kids experienced what he did. A God that loves them, forgives their sins, gives them purpose, unites them with a family. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, when they went in and they saw the tomb was empty, It didn't change the circumstances. The trial was still a false trial. The crown they put on him was still a crown of thorns. They still beat him. They still whipped him beyond recognition. They still shouted, "Crucify him." I don't know if you've ever had something terrible happen. You go to bed exhausted. You wake up in the morning, and then you suddenly have that realization, oh yeah, it's still true. All that stuff still happened. The disciples still deserted him. But you know what was different when the stone was rolled away and when he was risen from the dead? The meaning of all those events changed 180 degrees. Now the cross is what we wear around our neck. The cross is what we put in front of our church. It was horror and it was trauma and it was death. And now it's our salvation. When God was working in the dark, in that tomb, he was changing everything. You might come to a place where something you've dreamed of, you realize it's just not going to happen. You've tried your best and it's not going to happen. But the God who works in the dark, with the same resurrection power he showed on the third day, can work in your life, can do something that no one else can see, that changes the meaning of all your circumstances. You see, there were other tombs. There were other people that died that day. But Jesus's was marked as different and special because Jesus's was connected with a promise from the Word of God. Jesus said, they're going to kill me, and on the third day I'm going to rise. There was a promise from God's Word. And you and I are marked as well. All your broken dreams and all the failures and all your waiting for unanswered prayers, it's all marked by God's promises. God who promises that God will work all things together for good for those that love him and are called by his purposes. The God that said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Those promises and many others are connected with you, connected with your waiting, connected with your failing, connected with anything that you no longer have the capacity to hope for. I want to tell you that the title for this message came to me from Paul Both. I'd had a day that I really wasn't looking forward to, and it came. And I let him know on Facebook my status and what was going on with me. And he called me from Africa. I think it's the first time I've ever been called from Africa. A Facebook call. And he said, oh, Brother Dana, and he just prayed for me, and he spoke to me, and he said, God works in the dark. He didn't explain a thing about it. But you know, Paul went through something like what I've been through, and he told me that when he was here doing his SPM, that I had encouraged him. I wasn't aware of that. But out of his dark time, God worked in a way that changed it all. Because it was in his time of darkness that God was able to birth South Sudan Education Mission, SSEM. Thousands, I mean beyond 10,000, thousands upon thousands of people have been preached to in the refugee camps. Schools have been started, churches built. I mean, high officials working together for reconciliation have met with Paul. Paul has met with them. And tomorrow, Christian leaders from two tribes that have been violently fighting each other, where death has been involved, where Paul is at. There's been a race war going on where Paul is at between two tribes. Christian leaders between those two tribes are starting a three-day fast tomorrow that Paul is going to be involved. The meaning of Paul's hurt has changed. It still hurt. You can ask his boys. You can ask him. It still hurt. The circumstances were still there, but the meaning changed. So, sisters and brothers, you got to know that God works in the dark when you can't see. And you can say, well, my prayers aren't answered, so I'm going to give up. You can say, it's my own darn fault, so I'm going to give up. Or you can say, there's no hope for this situation. It's a done deal, so I'm going to give up. But you don't have to. Because with you, there's a promise associated. A promise that God will work all things together for good. And that he can change the meaning of anything that you've been through, anything that you're going through. So let's give him our praise and trust him. Amen.